Welcome back to the final day of this, the 23rd Olympiad. Brought to you by Krusty Burger.
You people are pigs! I personally am gonna spit in every 50th burger.
I like those odds.
Hello, and welcome to Put It in H, a Die Hard Simpson podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year to you too, buddy.
Did you have a nice break?
I did. I had 2 whole weeks off. I almost forgot that I had a job. I was only back today, and I was like, you know when you go back to school and you just like don't know how to write anymore, you just forget everything. It was kind of like that. I was like, yeah, what courses have I got coming up? How many people are booked? Well, you know, I just didn't know what I was doing. How about you? Did you have a good one?
I did. It was lovely and quiet. I was up in Donegal, up in the very top, up in Rathmullen.
Brilliant.
With Faye and her sister and the baby and her sister's fiance. It's really nice. Just sort of really quiet. Christmas Day was the quietest Christmas Day I ever had, I think.
It's quite nice. It was,
yeah, I got up, had a fry, did presents, went back to bed. Then Faye and her sister cooked a turkey Wellington.
Hello.
Plus all the extras. we watched Home Alone with that. And then, obviously, we've been drinking wine and stuff all day.
Oh, nice.
Then we watched, like, Great British Bake Off or something, and then a movie, and then went back to bed. It was very relaxing.
That sounds like an excellent Christmas day, to be honest.
Yes.
And something what different as well, up in Donegal.
Yeah, it was really cold, really cool.
We left we have a mouse in the house, and I thought I got it on Christmas Eve in the mouse trap. I was like, well, that's depressing. But then I left like a mince pie out for Santa, like for Johnny, and like the whole shtick was I was going to take a bite but leave a bit and all this sort of stuff. But the mouse ate it, but it's not we got down the next day.
There was
another mouse apparently that just ate this mince pie. I was like, well, that has ruined the shtick. I got to wait a whole other year to do it the way I want. But apart from that, it was good.
Did Joanie have a nice Christmas, yeah?
She did, yeah. She got a bike and the front wheel was flat. So we had to get a pump. The pump broke. So then on Stephen's Day, we got a proper pump. But she got, like, a scooter and got, like, a lot of old-school sort of games, like Hungry Hungry Hippos.
Oh.
And that sort of stuff, which she loves. And a big chalkboard and stuff like that. So, yeah, she was...
I assume you started playing it at 2:30 in the morning while you're waiting, playing the waiting game.
Yeah, it's like we better rewrap this. We were actually up before her with the excitement of her getting to see her. She slept till like 9 or something.
Oh, nice.
I know, it's great. She's a good sleeper.
Oh, that bodes well going forward.
Yeah, I know. But we also, if you were listening, listeners, recorded a special bonus episode over the holidays. The very first episode, Simpsons Roasting on an Open Fire. It was a tough watch.
It was an interesting watch, I'll say. You can listen to the episode yourself to hear our thoughts on it.
Listening to us talking about it is better than the episode, trust us.
I would say so.
Yeah.
But I'd say that, well,
that's true for all the episodes.
Yeah,
you can
right?
say it.
So
what episode have we got this week, Terry?
This week we have Lisa's First Word.
One of my favourites growing up.
Just before we get into the meat and potatoes of the episode, maybe we should just have a quick word about our current hosting status.
Yes. Basically, we were on Podomatic, but we were going to upgrade to the Pro, but that only gives you still a certain amount of storage space, which you would have eventually run out of pretty quick. So we moved over to SoundCloud, and we're in the process of trying to get it sorted so that it syncs up if you're subscribed on iTunes or on other podcast apps and things like that, so it'll just automatically update as normal and people won't have to go searching for it again. And I've jumped through all of SoundCloud's hoops, except they're a stickler on the podcast
resolution
artwork. Yeah, it's the pixels and all this sort of stuff, and I've done everything that they've asked, but they're still saying it's not up to scratch, so I don't know what that's about, but we're one step away anyway from getting it all sorted. So in the meantime, you can find the episodes on Facebook or Twitter, but it'll be on iTunes soon. I'd say in the next few days, I hope.
Yeah. Okay, well, shall we get into the episode now itself proper?
Can I?
As the man says.
Can I start you off with a bit of trivia?
Hit me.
Well, this was watched by 28.6 million viewers, which was the most watched episode of the season. And it's received positive reviews and all this sort of things like that. Interesting fact, I was actually surprised. Actually, when I read it, I had completely forgotten about it, but the voice of Maggie in this episode, Maggie's one word, was none other than Elizabeth Taylor.
That was a fact that we used to try and, you know, when we'd be having Simpsons trivia contests when we were younger.
Yeah.
That would be one that would be like, who was the voice of Maggie?
I would never have thought that, obviously, without like reading.
If you knew that, you're in the club.
But apparently there was a bit of sort of controversy about her voicing the episode, in that she would say, like, all she had to do was say daddy, but she kept doing it too sexy, apparently. And they said they did 24 takes, but they were always too sexual. And finally Liz said, fuck you, and walked out.
What?
Which Matt Groening said at first, yeah, that happened. But then he sort of clarified in the commentary that she sort of said fuck you, like in jest, like in Maggie's voice, and didn't actually storm out and things like that. But yeah, I just thought that was kind of interesting.
We did 20 takes.
I know, that's the first thing I thought of. And also, the Olympic promotion by Krusty Burger is loosely based on a similar scratch and win promotion by McDonald's, where McDonald's eaters or whatever could win a Big Mac, French fries, and a drink, or a cash prize of up to $10,000 if Team USA won a medal in the visitors listed event. McDonald's lost millions on the promotion due to the 84 Olympics boycott by the Soviet Union. And
you people are pigs.
I was very fascinated to hear that it literally verbatim happened, like, in real life.
Yeah,
that's so funny. But that's kind of
it.
It was kind of light-ish this week on the trivia.
Let me ask you, though, just because I have something here. What couch gag do you get?
I know my couch gags are messed up on whatever thing I'm watching, because it was the same again, where they go to sit on the couch and the Simpsons are already sitting down. And they're like,
huh? Okay, so that was the same one that I had.
Really?
But apparently the couch gag for this one is that famous one where it's like
da, da, the circus. Da, da, da,
yeah.
Da, yeah.
Yeah.
I always appreciate the symmetry of that intro. It's exactly the same on the left and right.
One of the guys that was the animator said he didn't like it because it was too long and he thought it was poorly animated, but apparently it was Matt Groening's favourite couch gag of all.
I kind of believe that with him, though, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and it's been used in 3 other episodes.
That's what I thought as well, because I know there's been times, I remember as a kid particularly looking out for it and being like, they used that in that other episode, being outraged.
Apparently that's the most that anyone has been used. The other ones have only been used in like 2 other episodes.
Interesting. Well, first of all, it aired in December in 1992.
Yes.
But the chalkboard gag said, teacher is not a leper.
Any reference? Which no.
Seems a bit like, I don't know what to make of that.
Well,
a leper, like. I want to see the scene in The Simpsons where Bart is calling Miss Scrapple a leper.
So, I guess we start off this week's episode with Marge holding a bottle in front of Maggie. And she's trying to make her talk, asking her if she can say Baba or Mama. Can you say Baba? Mama? Yeah.
That voice. Then
Bart, being Bart, saying, can you say get bent? Oh, that Bart. Homer asking, you say daddy. Marge asks, Kitty? This, I didn't understand it. Lisa is saying bebop. I assume it's jazz, like, is it?
Yeah. Oh, I guess, yeah. Yeah, that's some sort of, some form of jazz.
And then Maggie burps. To which Homer says, did you hear that? She said burlap. What a great first word.
Burlap.
And, you know, Marge is wondering when Maggie's going to start talking. Lisa says, don't push her. Remember, it is better to remain silent and be thought a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt. To which, yeah. But I do love the follow-up, which is Homer is brain. What does that mean? Better say something or I think you're stupid. Takes one to know one.
Takes one to know one. So let me ask you, actually, before we go any further, do you remember what your first word was?
Do you? How can you remember your first word?
Well, let's kill that segment. Well, I was just told by my mum. My first word was sausages.
I'll say nothing. And you're on a field day with that one.
I'll bet it was.
Now, you're a parent here. Marge pulls a little factoid here. If the daughter or if your child doesn't start talking by age one, you should consider a corrective tongue extender.
I wholeheartedly endorse this product.
Did that thought ever cross your mind with little Joni?
No, well, not a corrective tongue extender, but there was a period where we were like, why isn't she talking yet? And that sort of stuff. Like, you like, there are parents who, like, sort of freak out and just don't just let it happen naturally. They'll try and do things. Like, I saw this ad. It was one of those, like, YouTube ads. It was only the other day. I mean, Gary couldn't believe we were looking at it. It was, like, corrective ear tape for babies or something like that. And it's, like, a double-sided tape that you put on the back of the baby's ear and stick it to the side of his or her head.
So they don't grow out, like...
And you do this a couple of times a day or something like that. And yeah, and it's to stop babies' ears from sticking out and to be more like cosmetically pleasing or something like that. We're just like, what the fuck?
That's an old movie trick. They tape female women's ears back. Really? I remember listening to the commentary for Not Another Teen Movie. Great movie. Don't ask me why I was listening to the commentary. But
the commentary of Another Teen Movie.
Very funny commentary as well. Brilliant. A lot of time in my hands. But they kept saying they had to pin the girl, being on the main girl.
Yeah.
Janie Briggs.
She's got pain on her overall.
Oh, come on! Real shit bomb.
Remember that guy.
Anyway, they had to tape her ears back when she became like the hot girl because her ears stuck out too much.
Huh. I guess Natalie Portman doesn't use them, huh?
I don't know. I can't imagine.
She always strikes me as someone with sort of sticky out Mickey Mouse ears. Anyway, we're getting off topic.
I won't have a bad word said about Natalie Portman.
I know you won't.
Anyway, so Bart asks what his first word was, and we get a great little flashback to... I just love how Bart flings open the door in the flashback.
Yeah, and he's just casually drinking his bottle.
It's like he's a drunk or something, sucking down a bottle of beer.
He's drinking it like it's a can of Duff or something like that.
So then they want to know the story of Lisa's first word. to which you
I get. I love the fact that Lisa's first word, I love the fact that this is an episode that takes place, as I know you're a fan of, when Homer has hair.
One of those
just like, you know, back in the 80s, like I love these kind of flashback episodes.
Yeah, 1983.
The unforgettable spring of 1983.
Yeah. Now they've retconned it so many times, it's like,
yeah,
Homer was in college when grunge was taken over in Seattle. Like,
yeah. It's like, no, he wasn't.
Anyway, so they're in East Springfield, which I love this aesthetic of like the apartment building and,
yeah, me too. Know,
it's like downtown New York, or not downtown New York, but like Queens or something in New York.
Yeah.
And,
I was a big fan of that.
Yeah, we get a couple of local boys asking if they want to go play stickball.
Certainly.
Great little gag that they run over to play the arcade game of stickball. And there was like kick the can there as well.
I like the fact when Marge and the girls are talking on the step or whatever, like your one's Irish accent, that Mike Farrell really boils my potato.
Really boils my potato. I actually thought it was supposed to be like European or something. Like,
really?
Yeah, up until this watch, it's like, that Mike Farrell really boils my potato. Like, oh, okay, so it's the Irish.
Voiced not by a true, like, Irish woman, whoever it was.
Not like Russian or something like that. Like, they're talking about MASH, and then we get a great little sight of Homer with his lunch pail, coming home singing, Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Yeah.
And we get a little bit of, I think I prefer Bart as a 2-year-old than I do as an 8-year-old.
I thought that until,
yeah.
But as the episode progresses, he just morphs into Bart, like Bart Simpson now, you know?
It's funny how we've gone on and like we've realized, like when we were kids, Bart was like the coolest character.
Yeah.
And now as grown-ups, we're like, I hate this little fuck.
Yeah, like imagine if there was a kid like that.
Yeah. So they get a little back and forth between Homer and Bart keeps calling Homer. And Homer wants him to call him Daddy. So they get a little bit of a Domer. You get your first choking of a 2-year-old.
Yeah. And that's a recurring theme, which I will bring up when we get to each one. But, like, very negligent parenting going on in this episode. Oh, let alone wringing the 2-year-old's neck.
Yeah, well.
Like, he'd be in prison.
You get, like, a little montage here of, like, Bart jumps on Homer's stomach. Like, really, like, a little nightmare kid.
Yeah.
And a nice little moment with the two of them eating spaghetti in the exact same manner.
Yeah.
Getting it all over. And then he's swinging from like a clothesline over about a 40-foot drop down the street.
Like, that's another one. Like, my God. He just falls, he'd be dead.
Yeah. I do like, they're like, he'll get tired eventually. Like, then what happens?
Yeah.
And then we get, this is a clip. Oh, well, not a clip, but this is a part that I always liked. When, you know, Marge is wrecked and she's telling the story to Bart. And she says, they had 30 sons and 30 daughters. And Bart wants to know their names. She's like, Dennis, Brad, Mavis. Brad. It's always stuck at me. And then Bart has the remote control in his crib. Turns on Johnny Carson.
I will stop you there, Terry. This is where we come to that point in the episode where we have our first clip. So we'll play it and come back after this.
No, this is true. The Coast Guard arrested Boy George for scraping the barnacles off his dinghy.
Hi-yo!
Hi-yo!
Got your nose.
Got your wallet.
No!
Bart, don't you ever do that again. Understand?
Beep.
Ah!
Guess what, homie? There's going to be twice as much love in this house as there is now.
We're going to start doing it in the morning?
No.
Oh,
We're going to have another baby.
Marge, that's...
Bye-bye, Keys.
Hear that, Bart? You're going to have a little brother or sister to play with.
Let me start by saying how satisfying that plunk sound is when he drops his keys into the toilet.
Love it.
It is so crisp. I can listen to that sound all day.
Plunk. I love the idea of when, like, Homer is like, don't you ever do that again. It's like, beep. Just press his nose. Like.
But you know what? And that was one thing that I even had my notes, because Joni does that exact thing where, like, I'm does trying she? To give out to her or something like that, and she'll do something where she'll, like, her new thing is, like, she'll pretend like she's weighing on me or something like that, so she'll just go... like, no, come here. Or if I'm trying to put a jacket on or something, it's just like a game, like, ah, like, come back. It's very similar.
Very good. So it ended up there where they're telling Bart that he's going to have a new brother or sister. And the next part of it is Bart imagining the possibilities of what would happen. And it's him thinking that he's just going to have a new scapegoat.
Yeah, he could blame everything on the baby.
The baby in this scenario, shall we call it, or this daydream, is like just the most... It looks like there's something wrong with the child. Like, it just has like a vacant stare on its face the whole time.
Like one sole hair on its head.
It just looks not right, and he's like riding on the wall completely. It's like, it was the baby. Bad baby.
Something wrong with that child.
Or when he spills the milk, he's like... uses the baby to clean it up.
To a two-year-old, that's his, like...
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And the Homer and Marge talk about getting a bigger house, to which Homer replies, I've got it all figured out. The baby can have Bart's crib, and Bart will sleep with us till he's 21.
Problem solved.
It's like, won't that warp him? My cousin Frank did it. You don't have a cousin Frank. He became Francine back in 76. Then he joined that cult. I think her name is Mother Shaboobu now.
That name, Mother Shaboobu, for some reason sticks in my head after all these years.
Name.
I occasionally think of it. I'm not a fan of the name, but I think of it way more than I should.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why. It always pops into my head for some reason.
I like it as a name. And then we sort of jump over to the guys going house hunting.
I'll stop you there, Terry. Why play it?
Quick fire.
When we can say it.
That afternoon, we left Bart with my sisters and went house hunting. Hey, Bart, want a dollar? You know what I want to hear?
I'm a little teapot, short and stout. This is my handle, this is my spout. Itsy bitsy spider went up the water spout.
Oh, yeah. Love that spout medley.
Now, Mr. and Mrs. Simpson, the only houses I have in your price range are in the neighborhood colorfully referred to as the Rat's Nest. This one just came on the market.
Oh, dear.
Now, here we have beautiful hardwood floors, trap lighting.
What's that stench?
Once you get used to the smell of melted hog fat, you'll wonder how you ever did without it.
Hog fat.
Let's keep looking.
Ooh, you smell something.
Ooh, but we get the cats out of the way, it won't be too bad.
Actually, according to the will, the cats own the house. You'd be their tenants.
I think you'll find you meant to say, why say it when we can just play it?
What did I say?
Why play it when we can just say it?
Oh, I've been making an idiot out of myself.
No, I think that's just the first time.
Yeah.
Now, on my copy, I'm just looking at the script here. On my copy, there was a bit cut out.
Yes. The houseboat
was
bit?
It? The houseboat, yeah.
But I remember that bit in the episode before. It's like, why buy a house when you can buy a houseboat?
Yeah, great bit.
Yeah, it's like, that's real shag carpeting.
The giant squid, like. Excuse
I wonder
me.
Why. But the thing is, I wonder why they cut it out, because I read when I was reading up about the episode that, like, they extended, like, they had that scene where Homer's singing Girls Just Want to Have Fun as a way to sort of extend the episode by a little bit. But it's like, if they had that good joke in, like, why take that out and leave the singing part in? It was just odd that it was out.
Yeah, I did like the idea of, first of all, I like this guy.
The house or the...
Yeah. It's like, well, actually, the cats own the house. You'd be their tenants.
Colorfully referred to as the rat's nest.
Yeah.
And the fact, there's something funny. It's the same in the Marge Gets a Job episode where it's like... Burns retirement party, this way. There's something about them having their mouth covered that's just funny. It's like, yeah. Once you get used to the smell of melted hog fat, you'll wonder how you ever did without it.
I like that joke as well, when they're like in the rendering plant and our buddy Raphael.
Was that him? I missed
his voice was the smell. His Homer pressed up against the window. So they actually find a house that they really like, and it's in Evergreen Terrace. And actually, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Okay.
But they find 742 Evergreen Terrace, not whatever it was.
Yeah, not whatever bullshit number they gave it in the early season.
But Homer gets the price of the house and he figures he can't afford it, so he goes to old Honest Abe Simpson.
Yeah.
Now, is it just me or does Grandpa look older here? And it got me thinking, is he supposed to be bald?
Or what is that little thing at the top of his head then, if he had hair,
like,
I guess, in the 80s?
He has grey hair in the 80s here. And now, what colour is his hair?
Now it's just like a yellow mini spike thing.
But I guess, like, Bart's hair is yellow, Lisa's hair is yellow.
Yeah, maybe he dyes it yellow?
I can't imagine him dyeing his hair.
Man, I sure hope somebody got fired for that one.
Homer says he has a problem, to which I arrived. Why did you come to me? I don't know nothing. I used to get by on my looks and now they're gone. Withered away like an old piece of fruit. Homer asks if he's done. And he says he needs $15,000 to buy a house, to which Abe replies, I love this, always stuck with me, this conversation. All I own is this house that I built with my own two hands. You didn't build this house. You won it on a crooked 50s game show.
I want to know that story.
Yeah.
I read it on Everybody and got off scot-free.
It's a nice little moment between the two of them.
Yeah. I like is the fact that, like, they have that nice moment where he, you know, writes Homer a check and sells that dump and stuff like that. It's like a nice moment, and then they go straight to the comedy again.
They undercut it completely.
When you ship them off to the old folks home, about 3 weeks, and they laugh. They're like, ah! Even Marge, like. Can I just say, I think we might have missed a very good joke. Because it's not technically dialogue on the script, but when they go to the realtor to look for houses,
yes.
Did you notice the name of the realtors on the window?
Yes, but I can't think of it now.
It was Stinking Fish Realtor.
Yeah.
Like, with a name this bad, we've got to be good.
Yeah. Great.
Oh, that made me laugh so much. Stinking Fish Realty.
So it sort of goes to an ad break there, and Homer, it cuts back. Homer and Margie are bargaining over a cookie, Homer wants, he says, he give you the cookie for your first word. Maggie distracts him and grabs the cookie, to which Homer replies, oh, you win round seven. and then Homer and Lisa, and this is what bugs me about any of these Lisa episodes, like the one with the saxophone, where, you know, how she got her saxophone as well.
Yeah.
She can be so self-centered, so like,
yeah,
like, when do we get to my first word?
Little shit. They're all little shits.
Yeah. Yeah. Terrible kids.
Terrible parents, really, according to this episode.
So Homer says, oh, you don't want to hear about that story. Tell him the time he got locked in the bank vault with Mr. Mooney. It was another one of his harebrained schemes. Oh, wait, that was the Lucy show.
I want to hear that story too.
Yeah.
So I didn't know they said preggers in America.
Yeah.
Mom was preggers.
And Dad threw all the money down a sinkhole. So it cuts to the guys moving into the house. Homer carrying a very pregnant Marge over the threshold.
Struggling. And this is another moment where it's like Bart is just basically Bart of present day. It's like, hey, Homer, this house sucks. Like, what is these two? Like, he's 2 years older than Lisa. She's not even born. So in this world, he's two. This house sucks.
Yeah. Of course, he gets another choke. Of... So then we get a welcome song by a very friendly neighbor.
Buenos dias, neighboritos. The handle's Flanders, but my friends call me that.
Hi, Flanders. And he's wearing a I Heart Webster t-shirt.
I don't get the reference. What is that?
I looked it up because I knew it was a TV show.
Yeah.
And here's the definition. Webster Long, a young black child, loses his parents in a car crash. He gets taken in by his football-playing father's wealthy former teammate, George Papadopoulos, and George's socialite wife, Catherine. George works as a sportscaster for a local TV station, and Catherine is an accomplished family psychologist.
What the fuck?
The TV show in, I guess, the 70s or 80s?
It sounds awful. He was adopted by his neighbor's cousins for his best friend. What?
So, Todd goes to give Bart a hug. Bart fucks him onto the floor, essentially. Poor little Todd is... he's such a good-natured little chap.
Yeah.
Calls him funny. And then we get into the sort of routine of what Homer and Ned's relationship was going to be for the next, what, six, seven, eight millennium years. He says, we need that, just give a whistle. To which Homer replies, I could use that TV tray that he's holding under his arm.
I love that. He's like, well, I just this minute bought it at the hardware.
You said anything.
Well, sure, you can borrow it for a little while.
And that little while is now 8 years and counting.
Like, this is their first interaction. Like,
yeah.
Wouldn't you be, if you move into a neighborhood, like, they already think that the place is, like, too good for them, or, you know, like, it, like they're really moving up into this house, and his first interaction with the neighbors is just to take his newly bought TV tray.
Yeah. So then we get Bart... What, he has a pot on his head, and he's banging a spoon in the pan and marching around the house.
You know what? I never realized how true to life this scene could be. Of just
making your daughter
noise for noise's sake. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing that escalates like conversation into arguments quicker than when there's a loud shouting on top and you're shouting over the child, and then it's like someone's gonna blow. It's usually me. Anyway.
So Marge is lying on the bed with a moist towel on her forehead or something. She's obviously tired and emotional, and she essentially just tells him to get out. Bart looks a bit sad, and he watches TV with Homer. We get an Itchy and Scratchy.
Oh, yes.
The name of the episode?
I don't know.
100-yard gash.
Of course. God damn it.
What do you think of when you hear that?
100-yard gash?
Yeah.
Vaginas.
Yeah, me too. Big giant stinky.
I'm sorry.
Dirty,
rotten, stinky. I can't believe I have clean content on iTunes for this. If they ever find out we're dead.
We get a nice little voice over here from Homer saying, "It's not easy to juggle a pregnant wife and a troubled child, but somehow I managed to fit in 8 hours of TV a day." I was watching this with Faye yesterday. I said, "That's going to be me in the future." Did not go down well.
We're only just talking again.
So then we get, you know, Itchy and Scratchy. They're going for the Olympic sprint. But Itchy, being the little jerk that he is, nails his tail to the ground. Scratchy runs out of his skin, wins the race. And he gets put on a box of Wheaties.
As a skeleton.
Yeah.
But what's funny about Itchy and Scratchy is that it's like, and a lot of the sketches, like, Scratchy's just trying to go about his business. Like, yeah. It's not like Tom and Jerry where he's chasing him and he gets what he deserves. Like, this mouse is terrorizing this cat.
It's terrorist.
Yeah.
So, after the episode, Krusty appears.
Stop right there, Terry. You stop right where you stand.
All right. All right. I'm sorry, Johnny.
We got a clip here.
Lower the gun, Andy.
All right, we'll play the clip, and we will come back.
Krusty funny.
Duh.
It's all part of our Krusty Burger Olympic sweepstakes. Just scratch off the name of the Olympic event on your game card, and if America wins a gold medal, you win a free Krusty Burger.
And cut.
Blah. I almost swallowed some of the juice. I'll be tasting that for weeks.
Great spot, Casey.
Put a sock in it, Preppy. How much are these free burgers gonna cost me?
Not to worry, Mr. K. We've rigged the cards. They're all in events that communists never lose.
I like.
This just came over the wires, Big K.
Uh-huh. Soviet boycott. U.S. unopposed in most events. How does this affect our giveaway?
Let's see. You personally stand to lose $44 million.
I don't know why, but the figure of $44 million is just funny to me. Like, and the fact that he can calculate it so quickly, you stand to lose $44 million.
He presses like three things on the calculator.
Yeah. And there's something about those downtrodden Simpsons characters that's just so funny. And, like, Krusty's definitely sort of one of those, like, in certain episodes where he's just like, oh.
Did you notice that it was not Sideshow Mel?
Yeah, it was Sideshow Bob, yeah.
With blue hair, though.
Continuity, people.
He was promoting his official meat-flavored sandwich. Love that. And... I don't know what it is, the idea of when it's like scratching, like the fact that he pulls like the flick knife.
Yeah.
And uses that to scratch it, and that was great.
Yeah.
And like, great spot, KC.
And then the other guy calls him Big K.
It's the girl. Yeah, just came over the wire, Big K. Soviet boycott, US unopposed in most events.
I can't believe that really happened. That's mental.
Yeah.
Truth is strange in fiction.
So, we get... I don't know why this... Well, I say I don't know why, but the next scene, I was saying to Faye, I think it's great, where it's like, he won't give up the crib.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right, Marge, let's go. But if he says it in front of like, oh, a bit of reverse psychology might work. Let's go, leave the baby with his crib. literally for half a second.
It just runs back. I love the little footsteps that you hear as he's running back into the room.
So then we get a little bit of stock footage of Homer making something. Now, I have a little question for you, Aaron.
Yes?
What other episode was this footage used in?
I'd be quite impressed. Would that be the episode where he's racing Nelson in the go-kart?
It would!
Yes!
The boxcar.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good.
See, I'm increasing my diehard knowledge here as we go on.
Yes, well, rather. Quite. When Homer builds him a new bed, the most terrifying looking thing in the world.
And apparently that was writer Mike Rice or something from his childhood, that his dad built him a clown bed and he was too scared to sleep in it.
I love there. If you should die before you wake.
And that's such a terrifying thing for it to say. If you should die before you wake.
So Bart is obviously traumatized. Can't sleep. Clown'll eat me. Can't sleep. Clown'll eat me.
Interesting fact. Alice Cooper called one of his songs "Can't Sleep, Clown'll Eat Me" after this episode. Yeah.
Oh, Alice Cooper. He is full of surprises, huh?
He sure is.
So, it cuts over to the Olympics, where it's the 100-meter butterfly.
I love the disdain he has. Like, he's like, and with the East German women shaving their backs, the Americans are heavy favorites.
And it's like, although we should point out that many of other women represented countries that don't have swimming, it's like, boo hoo, you're breaking my heart. And then Homer gets the call, the baby's coming. A baby and a free burger. Could this be the best day of my life? I didn't really get the next joke where it's an hour-long episode of Mama's Family.
I guess it's like they were going to be sitting in front of the TV anyway, so it's like good that they have to get up because he doesn't want to watch Mama's Family.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm guessing.
We get Flanders saying, "Enjoy the miracle of creation. We'll take good care of your boy, Simpson."
Shut up, Flanders.
Now, I want to point this out. Remember, we talked about this before, where it's like Flanders keeps calling Homer Simpson.
Oh yeah, he still calls him Homer. Simpson.
Yeah, a few other people call him that as well.
Yeah, it's a big up on that.
And he asked the kids, "What do they want to play?" Andy,
Good Samaritan.
They press the dice or whatever. I get the cloth, the leper.
Lucky. And so, then one of the classic lines of summertime, boys. It's like, iron helps us play.
It's like, I want to go home. Like, the clown just staring at me. Now, my thing kept skipping at this point. So it just kept replaying. I got that joy down in my heart. Where down in my heart? Where down in my heart? Going for like 2 minutes. I was like, I couldn't stop it.
Oh, God.
So I just sit on the tank.
Shut up.
But Bart slips out of the bed after that. And he runs into... Bar, can you help me with my sums?
It's like, I hope she didn't scare you. Hello Joe. why is Hello Joe still Such a popular.
It's just great.
It's like,
hello,
I Joe. Use it all the time. I use it with Joni all the time because we call her Joe. And I say it, and I say it in that voice so often. Yeah. This joke is going to be a part of this kid's life. I'm going to be saying this just forever. Hello, Joe.
Now let me ask you, with the next part, you know, they've had the baby, and Homer says, little Lisa, I've already started you a college fund at Lincoln Savings and Loan.
Yeah.
Is that a joke?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Over my head, anyway. Yeah. Marge is already reading a magazine about, you know, having two kids. She says, according to the magazine, Bart might be jealous of Lisa. To which Homer replies, Bart can kiss his hairy yellow butt.
That came back from the Fox censors as one of the lines that they had an issue with because Bart is two.
Yeah, it's pretty harsh.
It is pretty harsh.
So we get sort of Bart going through a mini psychosis here. From now on, the baby sleeps in the crib. Hello, Joe.
It was very nice though when, and in the next scene where they're like, there's someone here who wants to meet you once Lisa's born.
I thought that looked really good.
And like, he just goes in and Mary just sitting by the window in a rocking chair. It's like very nice little, you know, moment almost, you know.
Yeah, and then he undercuts it again with "I hate you." Yeah. So Marge saved the newspaper from the day Lisa was born. The old "Where's the beef?"
I don't know why that's so funny. Mondale to Hart, where's the beef? I don't even know the story, but that's just funny.
I think the "Where's the beef?" was an ad campaign,
huh?
For like some. I always remember hearing about it in America. It was like some old lady, that old lady that can never find the beef.
Oh yeah.
But it's two politicians. Apparently your man actually did win Minnesota, that Mondale, I guess. And then we get the gruesome twosome, Patty and Selma, from Lisa's POV, and they look
wretched.
I don't know. Yeah. And then, like, when she goes to give her the kiss, it's like, I guess that's the point.
Blowing smoke right in the newborn's face.
Yeah. I love that Bart's like, I got a new song. He's like, you're still here. The older they get, the cuter they ain't. Oh, the baby just spit up. Now, we get a great thing next. Homer is watching the Olympics.
Stop right there, Terry. This scene is so good. I had to just throw in a little clip here. We will play it and come back to you after this.
Welcome back to the final day of this, the 23rd Olympiad. Brought to you by Krusty Burger.
You people are pigs! I personally am going to spit in every 50th burger.
I like those odds.
So after that lovely little clip from Krusty, you people are pigs.
That's just like he's at his wit's end. It just goes right to him. Like, you people are pigs.
It goes to the Korean gymnast King Wong, who made a perfect dismount on what was later revealed to be a broken leg. But they go over to the boxing venue, to which Homer has a ticket for, and the American Derek Tatum does a triumphant turkey trot over the supine sweep. One starts turned to Alexander of Macedonia's victor at Granicus and Inicus.
The fact that Homer's doing that like really slow, like
he's doing the same dance, the triumphant turkey trot. USA.
And I think when they're at the doctor in the next scene with Lisa, that's like a reference to like an Olympic person when Dr. Hibbert is like, she has the reflexes of a young Mary Lou Retton. some sort of
I think she's like
gymnast or something.
Yeah, I think it's a gymnast. Yeah,
yeah. It was something to do with some. It was, it was a current thing in 84 or something, you know.
I like the attention to detail when his hair moved. Yeah. He made a little like clacking noise.
Yeah, I like that.
And he's like, "I'll have a Huawei pop." And I don't think he's been in it much, has he?
Very sparsely. Like.
Let me ask your thoughts on him. Are you a fan?
You know what? Yeah, I am. I was gonna say he can have some good jokes, but he normally does. To be fair, have some. Good ones, like the one that stands out. I don't know why. He's like, it's like it has to be terror sweat.
No, for me, it's like dislocated elbow, bump on the noggin. My diagnosis: bad babysitting.
Yeah, he has some good moments.
Yeah, and but he's got something even better than a lollipop: a rubella inoculation. Giant needle, like,
well, Bart.
So Bart wants to hold the baby, but he's too little. So Homer says, "Here, Bart, you can hold my beer." And just like you talked about the plonk sound of the toilets, yeah, or the keys going on, the sound of Homer putting the beer on his head.
Perfect.
Clunk.
in the next sort of segment, I was going to play a clip of it, but a lot of it's sort of visual. But
yeah,
like a lot of the stuff, like this is where Bart just goes off the radar, and you know he goes into Lisa's. He's like behind the door when they put Lisa to bed, cuts all her hair. Who's cuter now?
Cuts her hair. Like,
Jesus. Like, then he's mailing Lisa, you know, in the post or whatever like that. He's trying to shove her through Flanders' doggy door. And what I was thinking the whole time is, how is he let out alone? Like, he's out mailing parcels at 2. Like, where's Mars and Homer? How is he getting out to push her through a doggy door?
Terrible parenting. So Bart says he liked it when it was him, Mom, and Homer. She wrecked everything. He's leaving. Goodbye. To which Lisa replies, "Bart.
Suffer and succotash."
Yeah, I didn't like that. I tell you that right there. So he brings Lisa to Mom and Dad. She starts saying, "Bart, Bart, 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 Bart."
Now, this next line,
like, how old is Lisa here?
I guess it's sort of a bit forward in time, because presumably she'd have to be.
It can't be that forward, though. The Olympics are still on. Like,
she's a newborn who's just learned to talk. Maybe because she's like a genius. Maybe
she's that's a genius, how it
kind of works. But like the next line where she's like, "Lisa's crazy about you." She's like, "I'm not surprised you're her first word. She's crazy about you. She thinks you hung the moon."
Yeah, I thought it was both. Well, maybe it's like, as in like, she sees the moon is above her, so somebody must have hung it there.
You
know? Maybe it's a phrase. I've never heard it before. But that's the only thing I could...
Maybe, like, he's responsible. I don't know. Like, he's some sort of god. I don't know.
He is all-powerful.
See, at first when I
thought it was watched the episode, I thought it was
hell at the moon. Yeah.
But, no.
So maybe that is what it is, and our scripts are wrong.
No.
Still doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So she says, "Mommy," easily enough. She says, "Dave Hasselhoff." And she calls...
Still won't say daddy.
Calls him Homer. And then it cuts back to...
present day. Yeah.
I was sitting there.
Bart, of course, said, "I don't see your name on it." Writes his name on the carpet. Absolutely no repercussions.
Ha ha, Mom yelled at you.
Like, that's it.
Homer, the right idea, takes the baby, gets out of there. It's actually quite a sweet little ending. Like, I like the line of Homer's like, "You know, Maggie, the sooner kids talk, the sooner they talk back. I hope you never say a word."
Cue Elizabeth Taylor. But Maggie. Also, just the whole act of Homer being the one to put Maggie to bed, I thought was nice. You know?
It would never normally.
Because you would expect that to be marriage, you know.
Yeah. And that is the
love ending the episode.
That is a wrap on that season 4, episode 10, Lisa's First Word. Shall we get on over to ratings?
Ratings. So, Terry, what did you think of this episode?
I'm a fan, and there's a lot of good stuff in it.
I sense a bit of hesitation there, old Terry boy.
But I think my hopes were too high for it. Coming into it, because I remember thinking, it's such a good episode. And if I'm honest, it didn't hold up, or I didn't enjoy it as much as Marriage.
As you thought you were going
Marriage
to.
Gets a Job, or New Kid on the Block, even. You know, there wasn't... I mean, it was a fairly centralized story, and they told it kind of... They told it well, I guess, but I could have used it.
It was one of those episodes, though, with no subplot.
Yeah, well, it never is going to be, I guess. I could have used a bit more guest stars or something to punch it up a little bit, like, you know...
But guest star, do you just mean like other characters or the actual celebrity?
Like the only one you got was a little bit of Krusty.
Yeah.
And
Dr. Hibbert Flanders.
And Grandpa, like little sprinklings. Like,
if they'd have dialed back the heart 10% and added 10% more jokes, or maybe 20%.
Who would you have as your MVP? Actually, before that, what did you think?
I would pretty much agree. It's the recurring theme of this season of the ones I remember fondly just don't hold up as much as the ones that I don't think I'm going to enjoy watching them back. I think with certain episodes like this that I remember fondly, like it's almost like the backdrop that I remember. You know, like that building, the New York sort of style town and like that sort of stuff. Like when I think of that episode in my head, I think of that building and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think, oh, it's cool, it's different and stuff like that. But then when you're actually watching it, I would agree it was a little bit light on the laughs. It had a lot of heart, which is grand, but you know.
Like Lisa is only in the baby Lisa is only in the episode for 2-3 minutes. Tops, like, or maybe a little.
It's called Lisa's First Word.
You know, and that's okay, I guess. Like, cause I like a lot of the stuff they do when it's just Homer, Marge, and Bart, like that sort of small family.
Let me ask you, what would you give it out of 10?
I'll go my MVP first, and then.
Oh, yeah, go on.
I think MVP.
Who is your MVP?
Is. I don't think I've given it to this guy. I'm going to give it to Homer.
Ooh.
I think he sort of...
I think he did give it to Homer once.
Yeah.
I remember
a lot of the times I'm going to the other people that come in. But I think Homer really carries a lot of this episode in terms of... I don't really care for Bart. So what was the other thing that was keeping me going? Well, it was Homer.
Yeah.
And sort of... He didn't have loads to do, I guess. I just like a lot of the scenes that he had, like the whole Mother Shaboo speech.
There's not a huge amount to choose from, but Homer would probably be up there.
What about you?
For me, I like to throw a curveball in there from time to time. I like the realtor.
Ah, yes.
There's something about that.
Stinking
something about
fish
his voice.
Realtor.
Colorfully labeled The Rat's Nest.
Yeah.
Just always trying to put a positive spin, and then also remember the bit where, like, they look on the wall and there's writing in blood. I'll be back.
Yeah.
And he's like covers it up, like. So I like that guy, whatever his name is, from Stinking Fish Realty.
If I was to give this a rating out of 10, I'd give it a solid 8.
Okay.
Cats owning a house in the rat's nest out of 10.
I would probably give it a 7.6.
Ooh.
Or 76% if you prefer.
I'm sure one of our listeners will do a graph of this stuff for us.
I'd be interested actually to see, because I can't actually remember what I picked. And we're going to have to be at the end of the season going back and like giving our top fives and stuff. I'm going to have to go back and listen and remember what I said.
Well, you know, just go on vibe.
Whatever. Yeah. Let's go home feeling that day.
Let's get our plugs in.
Where can they contact us, Terry?
You can email us at putitinhpod@gmail.com. For the love of God, email us, please.
You can find us on Twitter at putitinhpodcast. Please follow us. You can find us on Facebook.
Yeah.
Put it in H podcast. And soon to be back where we belong on iTunes.
SoundCloud.
And all good podcast apps. We're on SoundCloud at the moment. SoundCloud's alright for the minute because you can listen to it like then and there. You can just click and it'll play on Facebook or Twitter or whatever you're on. Or there's a download option as well, so you can download it to your device or whatever it is that you use.
By the time this is out, I'm sure we'll be back up on iTunes and all that.
We have to be.
So next week we have season 4, episode 11, Homer's Triple Bypass.
I'm looking forward to this one because I don't remember a lot about it. I mean, I remember bits, but I don't remember the whole episode, you know, so
I think
this is going to be a good one.
Two words here, my friend.
Nick
bad cops, Riviera. Bad cops. Bad cops, bad cops. Bad cops, bad cops.
Well, I'm sorry.
Bad cops, bad cops.
Well, I look forward to that one.
Yes.
And thank you, as always, for listening.
Yes.
And
thank you, Andy, for a great old chat.
Thank you, Terry. It was a pleasure, as always.
See you next week, folks.
See you, folks, next week. Goodbye.
Trying to tell you, it's time to get dancing, baby. You can't think of all the wrong.